Forgive. This is a two-way street. Jesus says it like this. Let's read it together in Matthew 6. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, what's he saying there? Well, it's real clear. He's saying that we cannot receive what we are unwilling to give.
This is Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. In a time where tolerance is valued more than truth, every believer in Christ needs more than ever to know what it takes to build a godly foundation for their life. As we continue this series called Building My Life on Values That Last, Rick will look closely at the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love. Now, in just a little while, we're going to tell you about how you can get a hold of a solid collection of teaching from Rick that will make a great addition to your audio library or a wonderful gift for a friend or loved one. It's called The Most Requested Sermons by Rick Warren, Volume 2. And you can find out more about it by going to rickwarren.org while you listen to today's message. That's rickwarren.org, or you can just text the word daily to 313131 for more info. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Offering Forgiveness.
I think it's often funny to read the corrections that newspapers put in the newspaper when they've done something wrong. A couple that came out a while back, in last week's issue, a picture showed some very unusual Oriental dishes that were enjoyed by a party of foreign exchange students. Mai Thai Thin is a foreign exchange student who was standing at the center of the picture. We incorrectly listed her names as one of the items on the menu. We regret this error. They're trying to make something wrong right. There was another one. In a recent article, we referred to the chairman of the Chrysler Corporation as Lee Iacocca. This is incorrect. His name is Lee Iacocca. Now, what they were trying to do, make a wrong right, is what we're going to talk about this morning in our series on Building My Life on Values That Last. Today, we want to look at offering forgiveness. The fact of life is you're going to be hurt. You're going to be hurt in life, many times intentionally, by things people say about you, by things that people do to you, even by things that people think about you. And when we talk about forgiveness, some of you instantly call to mind certain heartaches and hurts and problems, and the memories are still fresh because many of you have been hurt, honestly, very deeply, and you still wince when you can think of those memories. Now, this morning, the outline is very simple. We're simply going to look at why in the world should I ever forgive anybody who hurts me? Why should I do that? And then we're going to look at how God says. Let's get right into it. First, why in the world should I forgive anybody who hurts me? Well, Jesus told a story one time. It's called the parable of the unforgiving servant. It's in Matthew chapter 18, if you ever want to read it. And in that story, Jesus gives three examples or three illustrations or three reasons why we ought to forgive. He says, you know, you need to learn to forgive other people when they hurt you. First, because God has forgiven me. Because God has forgiven me. I have been forgiven, and so I need to learn to forgive others. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, when I remember how much God has forgiven me, it just causes me to want to be a little bit more forgiving to other people. On the other hand, if I don't feel forgiven, I'm going to have a tough time forgiving you. And honestly, if you are one of the kind of people who you have a hard time forgiving others, you have a hard time letting go of hurt, you have a hard time of forgiving a grudge, the possibility is that you yourself don't really feel forgiven. Because if I don't feel forgiven, I don't want you to feel forgiven. If I don't feel graced, I'm certainly not going to be very gracious to you. And if I don't feel set free from the things I've done wrong, I certainly don't want you feeling good about the things that you have done wrong to me. On the other hand, if I realize that every moment of my day, I'm living in the light of God's love and grace, and that he's wiped the slate clean on me because of Jesus Christ, and that all the things that I deserve to be paid back for I'm not going to be paid back for, because God has wiped the slate clean. He's wiped it out and he's forgiven me. When I remember that, it just makes me want to be a little bit more forgiving of you. Does that make sense? Now listen, you will never have to forgive anybody more than God has already forgiven you. He will always forgive you more than you've forgiven anybody else. So that's the first reason God has forgiven me. Then he says there's a second reason why we need to forgive others, and that's because resentment doesn't work. Actually, it's very self-destructive. It's counterproductive. It always hurts you more than it hurts anybody else. If anybody had a right to be resentful, it was a guy in the Bible named Job. Job was the kind of Donald Trump of his day, only he had character. You know, he had lots of money. Not that Donald Trump doesn't have character. Let me just. But he was really a godly man, and God was first in his life. But he had everything he wanted. He was the wealthiest man. He was the most famous man of his day. And one day, he lost it all. Enemy nations came in, killed all his livestock. All of his children were killed. He lost everything he had. He got a terrible disease. He was living in poverty. He was in incurable pain. And the only thing he was left with was a nagging wife. And then his friends came along and said, "And Job, by the way, it's your fault." Now, if anybody had a right to be resentful, it was this guy. But three times in the book of Job, we're told that resentment doesn't work. Notice these verses. In Job chapter 5, verse 2, read it with me out aloud. "To worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do." I want you to write out to the side of that, it's unreasonable. It's unreasonable. He says it's foolish and it's senseless. In other words, it's illogical, it's irrational, it's dumb.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's rickwarren.org, or just text the word daily to 313131. That's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
So many people request copies of Rick's teachings every day for their personal audio libraries, and there are hundreds of messages that are asked for over and over again. That's why Pastor Rick has asked us to put together another great collection of his most requested teachings. It's called The Most Requested Sermons by Rick Warren, Volume 2. If you've been listening to Daily Hope for a while, some of these message titles are sure to ring a bell. They include Escaping the People Pleaser Trap, How to Keep from Stressing Out, How to Recognize God's Voice, Learning My True Identity in Christ, Set Free from Me, and Why God Made You. This very special 6-message collection is available in a boxed CD set or as high-quality downloadable MP3s. They're yours today when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Get your copy of The Most Requested Sermons by Rick Warren, Volume 2, right now by going to rickwarren.org. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org or 800-600-5004. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
To worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. I want you to write out to the side of that, it's unreasonable. It's unreasonable. He says it's foolish and it's senseless. In other words, it's illogical, it's irrational, it's dumb. Would you agree that sometimes when we're so filled with hate or so filled with resentment or bitterness that we do really foolish things, that we act in silly ways? We say, "I'm going to get him," and we often do the ridiculous. Now, this week we had the Purpose-Driven Church Conference, and so I missed it. But I understand this week there was a special on the anniversary of the Three Stooges. Now, I'm not going to ask you how many of you saw it, but how many of you would admit to have seen it? That's what I figured. I didn't think any of you would admit to have seen it. But I remember one time watching the Three Stooges, and Moe kept hitting Curly on the chest. He kept slapping him. And so Curly goes, "I'm going to get even with that guy. I'm going to stop him." So he takes a stick of dynamite and he straps it to his chest. He says, "Next time he slaps me, it'll blow his hand off." And that's the kind of thing that happens when we're resentful. We do really dumb things. When we try to get even with people We do stuff that makes us look stupid. God says it's unreasonable. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says it's foolish to hold a grudge. Not only that, is it not only unreasonable. Look at the next verse. You are only hurting yourself with your anger. Would you write down, it's unhelpful. It's unhelpful. Now, why is it unhelpful? Because it always hurts you more than the other person. It just makes you miserable. You see, no matter how resentful you are, no matter how bitter you are to that person who hurt you, that mother, that father, that ex-husband or wife, that person at school, that former friend who betrayed you, all the resentment in the world is not going to change the past. It's not going to change anything. It's just stewing without doing. And all the resentment in the world will never solve the problem. And all the resentment in the world, in fact, never even hurts that person. It just hurts you. Maybe they hurt you 6 years ago, and now every time you think about it, it still causes pain in your life. They've gone along on their merry way. They've forgotten the issue. When you hold on to a hurt, it's like taking fire in your chest. You're going to burn up. It's like swallowing a self-inflicting poison. It's like having a cancer that's going to eat you alive. And resentment does not hurt the other person. It hurts you. So for your own sake, for your own health, for your own happiness, it doesn't change anything. It's unreasonable and it's unhelpful. Not only that, it's unhealthy. Look at the next verse. Some men stay healthy until the day they die. Others have no happiness at all. Why? They live and die with bitter hearts. Would you write it to the side of that verse? It's unhealthy. Now, research has shown over and over and over that the single most destructive emotion is resentment. It's bitterness. It's being unforgiving. That when you hold on to it, you only hurt yourself. And it has all kinds of emotional and physical consequences. Have you ever said, oh, when I think of that person, they are a pain in the neck or some other part of the anatomy, you know? Well, literally, they may be. Have you ever considered that maybe all that back problem that you've got is because of the stress you're carrying because you won't let go of a hurt? And that unforgiveness is keeping you all bound up inside and your stomach's in a knot. And it's tying you up. Guy went to a doctor. He said, doctor, I got colitis. And the doctor said, who you been colliding with? You see, it's not so much what eats you or what you eat, but it's what eats you that tears you up on the inside. And resentment, the Bible says, doesn't work. So for your own sake, God is saying, you need to learn to forgive. Why? First, you've been forgiven. Second, it doesn't work. There's a third reason, because forgiveness is something I need too, because I need forgiveness in the future. And this thing of forgiveness is a two-way street. In other words, you can't expect for everybody to forgive you if you are unwilling to forgive other people. Forgiveness is a two-way street. Jesus says it like this. Let's read it together in Matthew 6. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, what's he saying there? Well, it's real clear. He's saying that we cannot receive what we are unwilling to give. He said, that's the way it works. Forgiveness is a two-way street. That what you sow, you reap. And if you are forgiving, you will be forgiven. But if you're unforgiving, don't expect forgiveness from anybody else. And he says here that God says, how do you expect me to forgive you if you're not willing to forgive other people? A man came to John Wesley one time and said, I could never forgive that person. And Wesley said, then I hope you never sin. Because when you are unforgiving, you're burning the very bridge you need to walk across. The bridge of forgiveness. You're setting yourself up to be unforgiven yourself. And because the very fact that God says, you're going to need forgiveness in the future, then I need to learn to be forgiving. Now, I've talked to many, many people over the years, thousands of people, about learning to let go of hurt. And I've heard this many, many times, Rick, you just don't understand. You don't know my hurt. You don't know how that parent hurt me. You don't know how that person hurt me. You don't know how for years and years I was abused, or for this reason or for that reason. And you know what? You're right. I don't. But God says for your own sake, you need to learn to let go. For your own sake. because you're not helping the situation by holding on to the hurt. When you hold on to a hurt, you're still allowing somebody in your past to continue to hurt you. And that's dumb. That's your choice. They can't continue to hurt you unless you choose to allow it. So you say, but Rick, you don't understand. I could never forgive that person. Now, anytime I hear that, it always means to me that you don't really understand what forgiveness is. Because if you understood it, you would probably be more able to do it. What you think forgiveness is and what it really is may be two different things. You see, there are a lot of faulty concepts out there about forgiveness. There's a lot of myths. There's a lot of misconceptions. And so before I show you how you are to forgive the people who hurt you, let me just make real clear what forgiveness is not. And this is so important. I actually wrote it out on your outline there at the bottom. Aren't you grateful for that? I mean, I already wrote it out for you. Number one, forgiveness is not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. What does that mean? Well, forgiveness is not having to say, oh, it's no big deal. It was a big deal. Forgiveness is not saying, oh, it didn't hurt. It did hurt you. Forgiveness is not saying it was just a small thing. It was a big thing. And that's why you still forgive it. Need to forgive it. Now, there's a difference between forgiveness and acceptance. You're going to be hurt in life a lot of times unintentionally. But forgiveness is reserved for the intentional hurts. There's a difference between being wounded and being wronged. Wronged is intentional. Wounds often come accidental. If I'm out on the patio and you brush up against me and bump me and you say, please forgive me, you don't really need to say that. Because forgiveness should be reserved for the big stuff. Forgiveness should be reserved for the intentional hurts of life when people intentionally wrong you. You just accept the fact that you're going to be hurt accidentally in life. That's part of life. You're going to be hurt. Your parents have hurt you many times accidentally. You've hurt your parents many times accidentally. And your husband and your wife and your children and your friends and your neighbors. Yes, that just requires acceptance. But forgiveness means this was a serious hurt. You intentionally meant to hurt me, and so I'm going to forgive you. And when you minimize a wrong, you cheapen forgiveness. It does not mean saying it's no big deal, because it was a big deal. Number two, forgiveness is not the instant restoration of trust. Now, a lot of people misunderstand this. Forgiveness is instant, but trust must be rebuilt over a period of time. If somebody's betrayed you, you don't instantly trust them again. They have to prove trustworthy. And if somebody has hurt you over and over and over and over and over, repeatedly and intentionally, the Bible does say you are obligated to forgive them, but you are not obligated to instantly trust them because they have no track record. And some people think, oh, well, if I forgive this abusive spouse, then I have to let him back in the house just the way it is. No, not necessarily. Not at all. Forgiveness means I'm going to let go of the hurt. But they have to do some things in order to rebuild the trust. Forgiveness is what you do. They have to rebuild the trust in a certain number of other ways. Does that make sense? Now, here's another important point. Only the victim has the right to forgive. Would you write that down? Only the victim has the right to forgive. You don't have the right to forgive other people for hurts that they did to other people. And I don't either. God does. But I don't, and you don't. For instance, if your family had been robbed, I don't have the right to go to that robber and say, you're forgiven. Because he didn't hurt me. Only the people who've been harmed, only the victims, only the offended have the right to forgive. Does that make sense? Now, a few years ago, there was a well-known religious leader who had a moral failure. And that church started planning a restoration process. And before they could even do that, another leader took this man, added him to his staff, publicly said he's forgiven, and put him back on the radio and short-circuited the restoration process. Now, that was wrong. It was wrong for two reasons. He made two mistakes. Number one, he didn't have the right to forgive that man. Only the offended congregation had the right to forgive that man because that's who he'd offended. And number two, he misunderstood and confused forgiveness with restitution or restoration. You see, a lot of Christians don't understand this. They say, well, if I see a Christian leader and he really blows it and has, like, for instance, a moral failure, and then he says, I'm sorry, that we should just let him keep on going the way he's going. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says that trust must be rebuilt and that a man must be proven faithful. And so you don't automatically restore a person to a position just because he says, I'm sorry. He has to earn that trust again because leadership is built on trust. Does that make sense? That's what the Bible teaches. And so it is not a matter of restoring a trust. The third thing forgiveness isn't, is forgiveness is not resuming the relationship without any changes. And a lot of people worry about this too. They think, oh, well, if I forgive somebody, then I just have to accept them back just the way they are and let them continue to hurt me. No, you don't. Forgiveness is not the same as a reunion of a relationship. You see, forgiveness is what you do if you're offended. But if the relationship's going to be restored, the offender has to do three things. There has to be repentance, genuine repentance. There has to be restitution where possible. And there has to be a rebuilding of trust over a period of time. Now, you need to forgive whether they ever do that or not. But forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. In fact, you can forgive in secret. You can forgive without them even knowing about it. Why? Because forgiveness is what you do, not what they do. And your forgiveness is not to be based on their response, whether they ask for it or not, whether they accepted it or not, whether they acknowledge it or not.
That's Pastor Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment with a final thought, but first, so many people request copies of Rick's teaching every day for their personal audio libraries, and there are hundreds of messages that are asked for over and over again. That's why Pastor Rick put together an all-new collection of his most requested teachings. It's called The Most Requested Sermons by Rick Warren, Volume 2. Here's Pastor Rick to tell us more.
If you've been listening to Daily Hope for any time at all, you know that God wants to change your life. He wants you to become more and more like Jesus. He wants you to learn to love other people the way Jesus loves them. And he wants you to have more faith than you've ever dreamed possible. How does that happen? It happens because God is in the business of changing lives. And how does he transform us? Through his word. The more time you spend in the word of God, the more time you're going to become like God in your character. The more your life will be transformed. Now, to help you understand God's plan of transformation for you, I put together a collection of 6 messages that listeners have told me were particularly helpful when they needed a particular change in their life. I call these the transformation messages, and these messages will strengthen your spiritual and emotional health, and they're going to teach you how to make the changes to become all that God wants you to be and that you want to be. Now, I want to send these 6 messages to you as a gift, just to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Because of your generosity, we're able to take the hope of Jesus Christ into places where there are no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ, no churches at all. Now, as you pray about giving here at the end of this year, I want to ask you to ask God about sending a gift that's the largest you're able to give. And I want to ask you this. As we approach this new year, would you pray for us at Daily Hope? Pray as we reach out to people around the globe with hope that people will find Christ by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. And by the way, let me know that you're praying for this ministry. Write me. I love to get stories from you. It's such a blessing to know that you're supporting this ministry in prayer. You can email me, rick@rickwarren.org. God bless you.
This very special 6 message collection is available as a box CD set or as high-quality downloadable MP3s. And they're yours today when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Get your copy of The Most Requested Sermons by Rick Warren, Volume 2, right now by going to rickwarren.org or just call 800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org or 800-600-5004. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.